jam. Got me running round in circles, grinning upside down.
My name is Annie, and I am a grateful recovering alcoholic. Now I'm going to introduce the speaker. I just met this young lady at the Tuesday night meeting. I decided that I would do something different and do the Monday night meeting. It seemed like she's following me because she's here tonight. So since she's here tonight, I'm going to let her tell you about herself. I give you Heather.
Megan.
Megan.
I thought you were rehearsing your name.
No, I can't. I don't remember your name.
Hey, I'm Megan. I'm an alcoholic. I am stalking you. No, you know, speaking of that, like, I guess this started off. So I am Megan. I am an alcoholic. And speaking of Ann, I, you know, when you come in, like just in life in general, there's people. I was talking to a homeowner today about it. Like you just, my sponsor calls it chemical. I just call it like connection, spiritual. There's like those people that you're like, yes, like I get it, like get you, I feel you, like it's, I'm with you, I'm jiving. And there's people who are just like, dude, you're like total alien to me. Like I'm not really sure. I just can't feel it. But anyway, but Ann, when I started coming Tuesday night, I'm like, got you, girl. Like, I just, you're it. Like, I get it. You're a part of, like, my people, you know? So, if I'm not your person, there's going to be somebody that in AA that's going to be your person. And then if you're my person, awesome! You know? So, but, you know, I was thinking about earlier today, I'm just glad that I'm still in AA and I still have a sponsor and I still check me because, we're about to get, a bunch of families together, which is always, as everybody in here knows, even when you get sober and you're like, oh, it's like, kind of like love everybody, right? Like it doesn't happen. There's still rifts and ties, issues, resentments, things, deal, childhood, parents, grandparents, then you bring like my mother-in-law that's like super alky right now, you know, like she's like, she's really sad. She's actually like the delusional type, like really see stuff and whatever. So that's a whole different way. I just kind of more break out in like a rage and like hate people and like hate myself. So it kind of looks a little different on everybody, alcoholism. Anyway, so but we had a family meeting where everybody got together last night to discuss like buying land together, which is crazy, right? Like I kind of want to kill you sometimes. I'm sure you want to kill me, right? Anyway, and then throughout it, something went down, and then I just, like, instantly was, like, started reeling and reeling about, like, my mother. And I was like, I know you did this, this, and this, and you went behind my back and talked to my sister about this, this, and this, right? And I, like, bought it. Like, I just bought, like, I know I'm right. I know I'm right. I know she did that. So, like, I was, like, obsessing about it. And then, of course, I have to, like, talk about it because, A, I'm just obsessive like that. And I'm a chick, so I just got to keep talking about it until I feel better about it. So it was, like, so annoying to myself last night. And then, long story short, well, not really, because that was a little kind of long, but I went over to her house today. I was walking by with my dog. And I ended up chit-chatting with her for a minute about that. And then we're not going to go. My brother-in-law's sisters are just too self-centered, so they're not coming, and that was clear by the demand that they made, and it was like, dude, 45 minutes south of McDonough, count me out, girl. Like, I'm not cutting off, I know enough in AA now that I don't cut myself off. I really try to surrender, like, everything, like, seek everything in my life from God. Like, is it that way I'm supposed to go? Is that who I'm supposed to marry? I mean, I did all, we'll get there later, but, like, somehow has to have that involved. So just to say a certain thing is like, I'm out. But anyway, and I was so wrong. She was like, I didn't say that to your sister. I didn't even talk to her. And I was like, gosh, like, I'm just so glad when I came into AA, that's like the first thing I got, like, and how it works, where it's like, in constitution capable being honest with ourselves. I mean, that's all I had going for me when I got to AA was that I knew, like, when I listened to me, I took a drink and things got worse and worse and worse in my life. And everybody else was already off the table. That when I grew up like buck wild, everybody gets loaded high. I mean, they did that in front of me when I got sober. Everybody was still just smoking out, getting high. You know, my mom came over to my house like on drugs, you know, and she was trying to help me move or something. So, I don't even know where I was going with that. I don't know where I was saying it. But anyway, whatever. So I grew up that way. And So the only thing I had when I came into AA was that, like, I knew that much, like, left up to my own devices, I was going to continue to drink and self-destruct, period. So I was like, maybe I should, like, not listen to me. And, like, the things that Megan would come up with every day of, like, oh, my God, he is so good looking. I totally should marry him. Probably not a good idea. And you might just find, like, not even talk to him, right? So, like, but I didn't. I came in AA, you know, and that was the only thing I had going for me. Like, I got, like, no more excuses. It wasn't my family's fault why I was here. Like, it wasn't my mom. And I could come up with a lot of reasons of why they helped me get here, right? Or, like, my boyfriend helped me get here, blah, blah, blah. But, again, I was that honest that I couldn't listen to me anymore. So today I was like, man, I still just can't. And I'm not saying, like, I'm like, I don't know what to do every day. I'm not saying I'm, like, this lost, like, pathetic person. But, like, I just am wrong sometimes. My ego is so alive and well inside me, and I still think I'm just right. And thank God I'm not. Because, like, when I came into AA, I looked at the girls and was like, there's just no way you feel the way I feel. There's just no way. Like, you're coming from where I come from. You're up there like, yay, yay, woo. I mean, the fact that you have, like, a smile on your face is just, we're a no-go. Like, there's just no way we're, you know what I mean? Like, you get it on any level, right? Because I'm, like, suicidal. I don't want to be here. I'm very uncomfortable in my own skin. And all I wanted to do was take some kind of chemical in to, like, change the way that I felt, like, every second of every day. So anyway, but that's, like, it. So today it was, like, still an alkie, you know, still need sponsorship, still need people in AA and going to meetings and going, like, maybe you shouldn't, you know, trust everything you think and feel, Megan. Like, you have alcoholism. And for me, every day I wake up and do some form, well, I do sit and pray and meditate, but I do some, why I do that is to have some form of surrender of, like, I can't, like, run the show. And they, I think it's in some reading, like, I can't, God, I know, I'm just old school. I got sober a long time ago. Someone got up to the meeting and were like, okay. Someone came in late. You said, excuse me for being late. Because it's just rude. If your life, if you get why you're here, man, even if you don't get why you're here, I'd get with somebody to get why you're here. Because I didn't know what alcoholism was. For a long time, I thought I was choosing the drink or choosing whatever you want to say. I will just say a mind-changing chemical going down somehow inside, you know, was my body. Like, if that was going down, like, I probably, you know, and I got to, because at the beginning, it was a lot of fun. When I was 12, it was a lot of fun, man. Like, see you sneaking out, and I could do whatever I wanted to do again. My parents just shut themselves into a room, and I was just out the door with two older sisters, and we were like, love ya in Atlanta. Here we come, you know? And it was a lot of fun. I thought it was, like, cool and, like, grown up at 12. At least I look at my niece. She just turned 12, and I'm like, oh, my God, the things I was doing when I was your age. And it's disgusting. Like, I looked like a little girl. Because, I mean, I still look pretty young. I mean, I am young. Right, Richard? I'm young? Yeah, I'm young. But I really, you know, but I mean, I can only imagine I looked like this, like, little girl. You know what I mean? And I just thought, like, man, I'm grown. I'm going to do what I want to do. The ego right there is already there, man, just defiant to the core. And, you know, my parents, even them, as messed up they are, they would, like, lock doors. You know, we had, like, the nails. My stepdad would come and nail every window shut so you couldn't get out at night. Of course we got out. You know, and all this whole time I'm going, like, man, like, you're stopping me from having fun. Like, you suck, you know, like, you get loaded. Why can't we? And then you have really no say so because, like, you're a hypocrite. That was the word back then. Like, you're a hypocrite, man. And but really looking back, it was, again, like, just so defiant. As screwed up as they were, they still were trying to protect me, you know. But there I am, just rebellious and defiant to the core. And, you know, I had this one lady a long time ago. She was like, oh, well, just everybody kind of steals. I don't think everybody stole the way I stole at, like, 5 and 7 years old. You know, I went to Catholic school, and I'm sitting there, like, collecting all the candy I can get, you know, up in the machines, you know, stealing from, like, all the nuns and stuff, you know. And I felt that, like, for a split second. But, again, it was, I wanted it, so I was going to take it because it was all about me and me, like, getting what I want because that was going to make me feel good. I had to ride MARTA from, like, Buckhead all the way downtown by the old stadium. You know, I need some candy to get through, you know, whatever my trip was, you know, just to, like, make life bearable again, that I just needed something. And anyway, so I throughout all that, so it really was fun. And then, you know, I believe what I've read in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and then what my sponsor, like multiple sponsor friends in AA, like getting sober with like a girl. It's always fun, you know. You're like, and you're like, back to each other, like all night, you know, just trying to bounce off like each other, like help me, and they're clawing at you, you know. But it's like at least you got like a buddy to like talk about the like insanity, because I was super super insane when I got here. Things got worse for me than you know. Some people are like, pink cloud. If you got a pink cloud, you're so lucky. Oh my God, I would have killed for a pink cloud when I came into AA. It was just no thank you. Like, where can I get drunk, you know? Like, I need something fast. And it was like, I just want to feel different, get out of this. Like, if I could like unzip my skin off of my skeleton, you know what I mean, and just gone through, that would have been great for me. Like, I was coming undone. And so the people, like girls and, you know, other people in AA, like helped me a whole lot. But anyway, like I was saying, so it was a lot of fun. And so I was probably about, you know, honestly, probably about like 13, 14. And then the drink started to take me. I did it only to change the way that I felt. That was like it. It wasn't fun anymore. It didn't shut that scared, insecure little girl, that quiet, like annoying inner dialogue. For a long time, it worked to like quiet that. You know, the girl that had like the best like boyfriend, body, career, whatever it was that I would like wanted at the time. Usually back then, it was just like, I just want to feel pretty, man. You know, and like have some like money in a car, right? So the girl that like had that, if I was loaded, drunk, she didn't bother me at all. And that's what I was chasing, always to like feel that way and okay. And somewhere probably around 13, it didn't take that long for me, but 13, 14, it just stopped working that way for me. And then I still was seeking out drinks. And it's being like AA, we'll just say drinks. But whatever your trip is, it's some kind of mind-changing chemical, you know, to be able to stay on this planet. And then the obsession, again, somewhere along the way, I guess that's what they're talking about when they say cross the line. But I know that became the most important thing to me, was to like chase that and to get it. Whether it was leave school, that was a giveaway for me. Like, I'm not finishing school. I'm definitely not going to college. You know, so the day you can say to Georgia back then, you could sign yourself out at 16 if your parents consent or whatever. So of course they did that. So I was like, later. So I just left home and went to the streets at 16. And, but then, I mean, at that point, I still thought like, I had a choice in the matter of what I was doing and what I wasn't going to do. But really, looking back and coming into AA, it was telling me who I was going to hang out with, where I was going to live, what I was going to do, what I wasn't going to do. I was really good in soccer, and I remember going to the soccer field. I went to Renfro after we went to Catholic school. We went to the public school for a bit, and I went across the street to the high school to play soccer. Like, yeah, I was like, who was that? Mike. But I went over there, and then I was like, man, I looked at it and I was like, I'm not going to get drunk. I mean, it was just like nothing came before that. And so for me, that's what they're talking about, like control and then the obsession. I was never satisfied. It would never shut up. And I say it because that helped me get sober, that it wasn't Megan's just like super pathetic, or why can't she get it, or like I don't know, like I want to be good. So what, you know, it was like alcoholism, this thing always dictated me and like had power and control over me. And then even today in AA, is he cool? And even in AA, like if I don't treat it, then it really does have control over me. I will start making decisions and taking actions out of that one day get me into a place of restless, irritable, and discontent. And I know what works. I know some kind of chemical will work for a second, you know. And the delusion is, like, it's going to work like it worked for that, like, first year and a half, man, where it was like, hey, guys, you know, it was, like, fun. It wasn't really like that. But, you know, like, it was like I felt good inside, right? And I will set myself up to in a position in order to seek that, to, like, change the way that I feel. And so anyway, so, you know, probably about 12, 13, and then I was just like, this is just not working, obviously. And I had multiple people. Back then, Charter was pretty, like, Bronner and Charter were pretty, like, really kind of new then. I got sober like 24 years ago. So, isn't that right? I think they were kind of like new. It wasn't like how it is now, where it's like treatment centers. You go in, they just load you up on a bunch of meds, and then they send you out your way, right? You're like, thanks, one drug for another drug. That's fucking great. But so we went in, and we would like detox. Like you would like straight up detox in there. And like really you would like get sober and like go, holy cow, like I think I will go drink as soon as I check out of here because you're just coming undone. If you're an alky like me, you're just ripping it, man. You know, I get, you know, why they like want to give you something. It's like, I don't need sedatives, man. I need to figure out, like, how do I help that or treat that so then I don't even, like, want that, right? And that, to me, when I came into AA, lots of, like, going to meetings and having people that really, like, had time sober that had, like, walked this path, they were like, Megan, this is what alcoholism is. And I was like, oh. Because I thought, it, you know, the piece of me was still like, damn, the man, I'm going to do what I want to do. And it's like, no, that's alcoholism, girl. Like, you think you're cool and, like, making all these decisions, you're not. Like, you know? So they talked about, I started to understand, like, alcoholism and me being able to, I believed it. Something inside me, like, when I got sober, I came here at first and I sat in the back. Oh, my God, Amanda's mom, what is up? Hey, girl. I'm really good friends with her daughter, and she just got into halfway house, so I'm so glad you're here. But I would sit in the back there having no idea what alcoholism was, you know, and people were like, hey, you need help, you need a sponsor. I'm like, what, no? Like, I'm just going to go back to my house now. You know? And but thank God, like, there were some people that have time that, no, I don't know what alcoholism is. If you're a newcomer, you don't know what it is. I know that now today. Like, I see Tracy at meetings, I'm like, dude, do you know what I mean? Like, get a sponsor. You know what I mean? And that's, like, that's what was done for me. People that had time sober took me underneath their wing. They're like, you're going to come hang out. And I was like, nah, I'm really good. I don't want to do that. You know? And they're like, no, you really are coming to hang out. And I would go hang out with them, detoxing off of some stuff. And I would detox, and I was like, I don't really think I really want to hang out with you guys. Like, I think I'm good. You know? And they're like, well, that means you're going to get drunk, Megan. And I'm like, no. And then it really was, though. As long as I could, like, keep y'all at bay, then, like, my alcoholism would always win. Like, once that thought came in and that obsession wasn't relieved for me, it left this time probably about, like, 9-10 months sober. But it was always there, man, just talking, just wheeling and dealing inside me. I was like, man, don't hang out with her. You know what I mean? Finding fault with people that are trying to help me. That's what you said the other night. That's what's up, dude. But I always find fault with people that are trying to help me. And that, to me, is, like, dead giveaway. Like, that is not of, like, God or anything, girl. That is, like, the other side and, like, setting yourself up to get drunk. But so they would help me, and I went in, and they were like, cool, we're going to pick you up. And I was like, okay. And we went to, like, the Mike Tyson, the whole, I love boxing. Mike Tyson, we didn't go to it. We watched it at somebody's house. But the Mike Tyson Holyfield fight. And that was the first time I hung out with, like, sober people. I mean, I'm, like, nuts. You know what I mean? Like, I want to get drunk, man. I don't care about you. What are y'all doing? This is stupid. What are we doing here? But, you know, like, watched the fight, went home. But something happened that I knew something was there with those people. Like I was said before, with certain people, I believed what they were selling me, man. Like, I knew it to my little soul. Like, I get the chills now thinking about it, like Amanda's mom. Like, the depth and gravity of, like, what we're doing in this room. If you really get it, it is, like, I mean, it's unbelievable, like, what has happened to me in my life. And that God has done all these things for me once I get honest and know, like, without that and without AA, I'm nothing. I will self-destruct and die. And I don't care about it, which is the saddest part about it. You know, that defiance of, like, I don't care. Really, it's like, man, I did care. I would have killed myself. There's multiple times in Jonesboro, I went out there one time to, you know, get sober, get away from, like, the people, of course. And but I just drove in, you know, every day. And but I was on the bridge, and I was like, I'm just done, man. You know, this is it for me. And I knew, I was standing there, and I was like, man, again, the God thing. Like, I always got messages from God. I would just take the drink, or I would just continue on the self-will. God was always, like, providing somebody down my path to go, hey, Megan, like, I was in school, and they labeled me as, like, learning disability. Clearly, I don't have a learning disability, but that's a whole other, like, trip for them, whatever, right? I hate schools, what it is. So, but anywho, the lady was so sweet, man, Miss Mead. she'd be like, are you okay? Like, I'm already on drugs. Like, out, you know, I've been out all night, dude, and I'm coming into school. Like, dude, I'm just trying to, like, you know, there's nothing wrong with me. I just don't want to be here. I hate school. I hate reading your language arts. Who cares, man? You know what I mean? I'm just trying to, like, not kill myself, literally. I could care less about, like, you know, your whatever multiplication you're trying to teach me. And but God, you know, she was there, and I was just like, no, I'm good. You know what I mean? Like, she would reach out. But I was like, no, she's like a teacher, like authority. So I, like, wouldn't take the help. Like, even my parents, as good as they were, you know, nailed the window shut. I mean, they're trying something, you know. So, like, at some point, they were like, you can't live here. I made their house hot. So that's like, you can't live here. You know, because they had, like, half pounds upstairs, right? And, like, you can't live here, right? So, I mean, it's weird that it was still, like, some kind of message, right? Like, something's offbeat here, like, to the soccer coaches that would, like, go, are you okay? Like, I'm just, like, there, like, no sleep, you know? And they're like, girl, I'm thinking, I remember my mom picked me up one time. I was 16. I'd already left home. I was 16, and somehow, I guess I had to go to the doctor, but I had taken acid the night before, and I was like, oh, God, this is going to be a nightmare. I have, like, a doctor's appointment, you know? And then, so I go in, I'm like, hey, dude. And it's a pediatric. Like, today, I'm like, oh, my God, a little 16-year-old pediatric, you know? I'm not even a real doctor, you know? Like, anyway, like an adult doctor. And he's like, takes my arm. I'm like, okay, hey, dude. Like, I'm like, dude, I know I look, I look like a freak when I'm like, you know, like, even no sleep, I don't look good. Like, I have to be, like, well slept and, like, have prayed and sat, or I just look insane, right? Like, my neck went, like a couple of years ago, my neck went. I knew the dude thought I was searching for dope. I mean, I had to look completely insane, like, unshowered, up for a day, like, and I was like, he thinks I'm trying to get high. I'm like, no, dude, literally, like, I want to amputate my arm, you know? But anyway, so I know I looked, like, just horrible, right? And as he pulls my mom out of the room, and he's like, hey, is she okay? Is she on drugs? And she's like, no, I don't think so. I'm like, okay. And my mom goes in, she's like, what the fuck are you doing? Because it makes her look really bad. I mean, you know what I mean? She just told my mom, like, just cancel the appointment, because I'm, like, tripping acid. So I can at least let her save face, you know? But I just, whatever. So, but I, you know, I don't even know where I was going with that. But I, when I came into AA, people once again have always, that's what it was, God. God has always given me people in my path and given me messages and, like, hints. And sometimes it's, like, knocked over the head with a 2x4. I know a lot of people, like, my husband gets knocked every time, dude, even sober. He's been arrested sober, and I had like 10 years sober, and he had like 4 years sober. He got arrested, but it's because we were fighting and we were managing the shit out of our lives. Which, if you don't know what that means, get with your sponsor and like kind of go through. You'll know. And when you feel crazy in AA, you'll know is managing because you're managing your life. So, but anyway, he was managing his life, and was like, and he's just a cop magnet, man. They see him and they're like, "What's up, crazy white boy?" I mean, they just like love him, right? He gets pulled over. All that, he just is that. So. Even then, we knew what that was at that time. I'd been around AA long enough, like me just managing my life and being like crazy squirrely girl in AA. Like, it's time to get like your life together again in AA, Megan. And but even things like that, like it just happens. He gets it. I never show people in here are probably cop magnets. They go to prison, jail. You know, like it's like a wake up call. But I'm like, ah, nah, that's not what that means. You know what I mean? Just keep doing what I'm doing. And then even in AA, like that thing that happened today, it's so small today because my life's like not on the line to the extent that it was when I came into AA. I understand. I don't think I'm like cured or better or anything like that. I just know I do have some like a track record of like what works, and I'm like down for it to work because I really do get relief by doing AA and like living along like spiritual lines. So if I didn't get relief, guys, I would not be here today. You know, like that is, I'm super self-centered and I'm all about like what can I get and get my gets. So if this like didn't, if I wasn't, couldn't go to sleep at night and just like, and cuddle up with my pug, you know what I mean? Like watch my murder shows and like go to bed, love and life. Like I wouldn't do this today. I was like, y'all are so full of shit. I am out, you know? And then it was a bummer though, because I had to do what y'all are asking me to do to really believe it. And like second step to really know that there was a power greater than me that like, really could help me and really could manage my life and like help me make decisions and like real deal, like guided, like literally everything in my life. If I let it or him, I say him, but if I let him, then it all works out. But I had to let go first. you know, and that's like, oh, still being an alcoholic, the hardest thing to do coming into AA and like surrender and get that honest that they're talking about. Like, I suck at like making decisions, managing my life. And to me, it was it was really obvious when it was, I'm willing to die for this. That, like, that honesty between me and God was like so clear again. That's the only thing that I had going for me coming into AA. I do like, she read it earlier, somebody, or the traditions about only having a desire to stay sober too, because I can't stand some people in AA and they're like, well, they're just not willing. Yeah, this must not be rolling, you know. And I just wholeheartedly disagree with that. I think I have alcoholism. I have untreated alcoholism. Probably don't even know what alcoholism is. They go to a meeting, go home, still listen to their own head. Go home, still listen to their own head. Believe what their head says. You know what I mean? Don't get a sponsor. Don't have somebody that like can help them. Yeah, and it's like, well, that's not, I don't think that's unwilling. I think that's just like, that's the nature of alcoholism. It wants to separate and like not have, wants to find fault with people trying to help me. So then I what? Then I do like drink and self-destruct again. That's the, for me, I was told that, I believed that, like, my alcoholism is always working to get me drunk, period. And even in AA, like, if I just keep going on, like, say today when I was like, my mom, I just kept going on and on and on with that negative. Dude, I'm starting to cop a serious case again with my mother. And that one kind of just, whoever says, like, oh, just forgive everybody. That's awesome, dude. That is not my story. I, like, 24 years in this game, dude. She is still the one that I'm like, you know? And I, like, forgive her a little bit. And then something happens and it kind of stirs back up. And it's like, man, I hope one day my sponsor, I just, man, just thank God for people that are real in AA. She's got 50-something years sober, like 53 or something. And she's like, Megan, you're like working on it and like working it out, you know? Like you talk about it and you're just trying to work it out. Because she didn't forgive her dad until he was on the deathbed when she was like bathing him. Because he was like fucking infant at that point. And she was like, that's when I really forgave him, like all the way down. But that's not my, that's her truth, you know? But that's just, I'm not there yet with my mom all the way, but I do know, like, if I just keep working that and like feeding that and feeding that, I just start like then copying cases with all you guys. I start finding fault in everybody. That corrosive, like, negativity, hatred, and fear, those things, like, don't just stay in one area of my life. Like, my self-centeredness isn't just, I want to get drunk. You know, it's like, oh, we're in a committed relationship. Well, are we really? Because, like, I kind of want to do that over there. You know what I mean? Like, my self-centeredness is, like, bleeds into everything. Like, my fear, if I don't check it and deal with it, like, it starts going everywhere. I think it's just really about the job. But then it starts, you know, getting into, like, I don't know, is God really providing for me what, like, I really need? Like, does he really know what he's doing? You know, what do they really think about me? Is my husband, like, what's going on with him? And, like, I mean, the fear just starts going and going and bleeding into everything. And so I know, like, the thing with my mom today is, minute as it is, it's like, that's not even a problem, girl. What's she talking about that for? If you stay along around in AA, you'll know what the hell I'm talking about. Like, that kind of principle, I have to address it and deal with it, like, very fast, because it starts getting very rapid in my life. And and then I start buying it, and then there I am, like, nobody's trustworthy. Like, my mother isn't, then Patrick isn't, my sponsor isn't, AA isn't, and then God surely isn't. And then I'm in deep shit when, like, me and God are, like, way over here. And even that in AA, I started praying immediately, and I don't know if it's because I grew up Catholic. I didn't really have this, like, God hates me. I didn't have any of that stuff. It was more, I guess, again, when I got sober, it was, I knew I was it, the problem. Like, when I listen to me, things turn out really shitty. And then, like, maybe I should start listening to other people. So then I would pray all the time. When that obsession was so strong, I'd be in the bathroom, I'd be on in, like, on my floor, in my bedroom, wherever I needed to go, man. If it was, like, 5-10 minutes. Because, again, I was like, this is not going to work. Why? How is this going to work? How is, like, reading a book for, like, 5 minutes when I'm, like, super insane and want to get drunk? How is that going to help me? That's just dumb. Y'all think you people are, like, dumb, right? And but then I would, like, do that, and it would work. And it was like, well, there you go. Like, I had to do all these things and really take a second and third step to know that they were real and it worked for me. But I would stay on my knees for 5-10 minutes until I felt better. And then one day I came home and I got in the habit too of 86 and 87. Some people say 10th step. It's necessarily the 11th step, but whatever you want to call it, there. And then I was they were like, girl, you need to know what you're up to daily. Like, what's going on in your head, what you're willing and scheming, like who you try to hang out with so then you can get this out of them. Like, what are you really up to? And it lists a bunch of things that, to me, still today, like, address my alcoholism. They talk about, like, was I self-centered, fear, resentful, afraid? What did I, like, think about taking, you know? Once again, I'm a taker, man. I love to take stuff. So, but, like, what could I, like, have brought, you know, I guess, what does it say, like, stream of life or given or something? Whatever. Just read it. And then I started doing that every night. So when I was doing that, probably, like, 9-10 months sober, I was there, and I was doing that, and I was, like, on the end of my bed, or, you know, like, the side of my bed. It's always whatever. But, and I was, like, I didn't think about getting drunk all day. And that, to me, was like, A, it is working. I wanted to work day one, but it's like, man, that much of self will run riot, girl. You just can't, again, you're a taker. You don't get to just take peace of mind, man. Like, you've run havoc over your life. You've been in self will. You've done everything that people told you not to do, right? And then surely what God would not have me do. I'm not stupid. I just got in the way of me doing what I wanted to do. So they were like, dude, you're not just going to, like, get it for free, Megan, you know? So, and that's just my story. Some people, they come in, the obsession leaves, that's great. Power to them. It's not my case. I had to do a lot of things. I had to do that inventory stuff. I had to go to meetings. I had to help a girl. You know, even if I had, like, 2 days sober, they were like, cool, Megan, you're insane. Go hang out with her. And I'm like, what? I don't want to hang out with her. I don't care about her. Like, I'm insane, you know? Like, talk about me some more. And they're like, anyway, like, go hang out with her. And I would go hang out with her, and within, like, 20, 30 minutes, I, like, had forgotten about my self-centered, like, obsessions of myself, you know, and, like, how much I wanted to kill myself that day and all. That was super dramatic. But, and then, so anyway, so that night, I was like, it works. It really does. And that's, and I knew then that I had a shot. Because without that obsession, I have a shot. So that's when I hate when people are like, I'm just saying people are just aren't willing. And it's like, man, they have alcoholism. It's untreated. The obsession is there. The obsession always wins for me. Always has. When that thought enters my mind, I will do anything in order to, like, get it to, like, calm down, shut up, you know? And the times I've gotten sober, I take a little, like, muscle relaxer, a little sedative, whatever that's floating around. And that obsession would just kick back in. It was just off to the races I went. And then it would go 6 months, 9 months, a year. I just had no idea how long it was going to, like, how long I was going to be out there. And then I would get signs and messages, and it was just like, forget it, it's too hard, I don't care. And then, and I think that's the saddest for me, like, the, I was willing to, like, sacrifice my, like, oh, where does it say that? It's one of the best lines ever in the big book. They'll commit the ultimate sacrifice. And to me, like, I was down for that. I just wanted it to end. And it's like, that is the state of where my alcoholism takes me. I just wish for the end. And I think that I'm choosing that. Like, what? Like, I'm really not. And it goes against every primal instinct of, like, survival as a human, you know, to, like, commit suicide. So anyway, so that went away, and then they started getting me into, like, service work. Where it was like, back then you could smoke in meetings, you had to clean out ashtrays and all that stuff, people's loogies, and you're like, you're an asshole, man, don't litter, pick your fucking cigarette butt up, you know. But it still got me out of me. I thought that was ridiculous. And then, you know, I know today they, like, people sit down, read a big book with somebody, and then, like, I guess do the steps. I don't really know. That's not how we worked the steps then. Like, that's not how I took the steps. We, like, would, you know, read and, like, go to meetings and, like, talk about alcoholism. And, like, I would talk about how I managed my life that day, and they would go, dude, it's like you managing your life. I was like, oh, like, got it, like, kind of like first step. And then I would, like, do something I know I'm not supposed to do, and then I'd get, like, a consequence, and I was like, oh, I get it, you know. And it was just after, like, stepping on my own toes and, like, messing up that I really started to take and, like, have a real first step and, like, really know how to surrender. And then, you know, coming to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. I mean, I just didn't understand what I was supposed to do in order to get that, really. And it was, like, very simple. It was, now it's very simple. It was like, you know what, just don't listen to you. Do the opposite of what your head wants to do. I didn't want to call my sponsor a lot. Who does, man? I mean, that's just real. Like, who wants to talk about, like, And especially when I'm squirrely, dude, I don't want to talk to anybody, you know. Even today, it's like this fainting little, like, I'm not going to say that to her. And I'm like, of course you are. It's Helen. Who cares? She'll just tell some other wild story about how she did that, and she doesn't care, and blah, 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 right? Like, we're all just humans here, and, like, my pride and ego, like, it's always in the way of me getting honest and real with people. And that, to me, through prayer and meditation, I and my understanding of God, like, giving me real sanity. Because with just my own head, and it sounds kind of like sad and pathetic, but I just get insane. Like, I just start believing all kinds of fears, insecurities, doubts, resentments, like, you're out to get me. You know, I was thinking about that. I don't know why I was thinking about that today, but I guess because my mom stuff loved me, and not believing that I'm always right is a good thing. But I was thinking about how much when I was with whoever I was with, like, I would be like, oh, yeah, uh-huh, he wants to fuck her, uh-huh. You know what I mean? And I, like, literally don't even think about that with my husband. You know what I mean? Like, it's so, like, the difference between then and then now, I mean, it's so so different that it's, like, mind-blowing that it only can be a power greater than myself and, like, AA and doing AA and, like, living along spiritual lines. But, like, I literally, like, think different. I, like, see the world differently. You know, I hated a lot of people when I got here, you know. And now just I get it. And it was funny. I think about my sister last night because they were just super weird on that call and that Zoom thing. And I was like, man, the unable to relate is like her malfunction. And I'm like, thank God in AA, somebody was like, instead of like, you should do that, they were like, oh, I get that obsession. Oh my God, I get it. Like selling like everything you got, you know, in order to satisfy that. I get it. I get like being so like fearful, you know, that I do really dumb things, right? Like out of my own fear, even though I think, anyway, it doesn't matter. But, like, I get it, right? And people sitting down and, like, relating to me. Like, you're not a failure. You're not a messed up. You're, like, not this thing that's never going to get it. You're not crazy. You don't need to be on the 13th floor of Grady. Because I believed that. I was that, like, what is wrong with me? You know, like, I need something to, like, calm down and, like, something. And now today I have, like, nothing. I don't do anything. I don't take anything. I'm 43 and not, I haven't been able to get pregnant yet. So, and I said, yes, faith. So I've taken these, like, all these, like, weird, I don't know, some kind of, like, supplements or whatever. But that's it. It's not like I'm taking anything that, like, goes into my brain and makes me think or feel differently. I don't need it. Like, to me, the girl that I am and the way I drink and my alcoholism, like, that's sanity. I don't even need it. Like, that's the sanity. I don't want it. That's the other sanity. I don't even crave it. I don't think about it. It, like, actually disgusts me. Like, it makes me really sad. And, like, and then I get hopeful for, like, Amanda's mom. I'm like, no, come on. I'm like, you're cheerleader. You know what I mean? Before, I've been like, girl, what you need? You know what I mean? Like, come on with me. You know? And now it's like, no, this way, over here. And, like, when I was drinking, I was like, y'all are, like, lame and nerds and, like, pussies. You know what I mean? Like, all kinds of stuff. Like, that's what I thought it was, you know? But now I'm like, oh, my God. God, I'm that chick. Like, no, God's cool. Like, what? I'm a nerd. What happened to me? You know? But I don't even care. Like, God, it works. Like, the God thing works. And I know, like, I just had to, like, have that desire. Even when I got drunk, man, just show up, be honest. Like, you're supposed to get drunk if you're an alkie, man. And if you haven't treated your alcoholism, you're getting drunk. So to act like you didn't get drunk is just retarded, you know? And I would, like, I would feel that way. Like, I'm not going to call and talk about how I want to get drunk. I'm not going to call and talk about how I want. And they're like, Megan, you're supposed to want to get drunk. You have alcohol. And I was like, oh, okay. So I just blew their phones up. You know what I mean? Because it was, like, constant. It was like, me again, still want to get drunk. Me again, still want to get drunk. But, like, I knew enough to, you know, like, you know, if you don't, and if you do get drunk, just say something, man. Like, it wanted me not to, like, shine the light on any of it. And then I was just a dead woman. But the God thing just works. Like, I know now, and it's great. I mean, I just, there is a God. And, like, when I turn my will and my life over to and I surrender and get out of the way, like, miraculous things happen to me. I want to be on this planet. I, like, care if other people are on this planet. I want to help other people be on this planet. Even when I, like, cop a case with you or you, like, rock my nerves, you know. I want to, like, figure it out so I can still be of service to you. Like, those are just, like, foreign things, man. I saw this girl it just like rocked me for some reason, like 8 months ago. And she was just sitting, you know, like everybody and their mom's like panhandling now, you know, like whatever. So, but she was just like this on the curb. And I was like, dude, I know that. Like, I know that. It's just like the walking zombie, and I don't even know where to start. And that is like so not where I am today. Only by like doing AA and allowing people in AA to help me and like praying. Even when I'm pissed, even when I'm comfortable, even when I want to get drunk, even when I don't want to pray, and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like the baby thing. That's not easy, man. I want a freaking baby. You know what I mean? Like, what is going on, dude? You know, and then you're like, oh, but then making like 24 years. You're supposed to like, dude, me and him hash it out. I hashed it out the other day, you know, like, dude, what? And that was like, no matter what, just show up. If you get drunk, say something. If you get drunk, say something, whatever. My sponsor got drunk for a year, for her whole year, in and out. She'd go to a meeting, go get drunk, whatever. And it was like, just continue to pray. And, like, ask God in some kind of quiet form for help. And, like, it always comes for me, even if it's taking the obsession away, slowly but surely. There's been times in AA that I bottomed out, kind of talked about it. Then, and I was like, I just need this, like, fear, which was, it was rage at that point, but I know what that is now today. And the fear, like, taken away, and God removed it. I just got to keep seeking help from God and asking, and everything always shows up for me. So I'm just grateful that AA's led me back to, not to, like back to, I guess, but to really have that relationship with God and depend upon it. And like with that, if I keep doing that, like hopefully I'll stay sober and like be able to help other people in AA, like even when they're hopeless as hell too. So thanks.
Thanks for your story.
Upside down, falling off the edge. It don't sound like fun. We gotta stop fighting everything, everyone. Ought to learn a lesson, breaking all the rules. Try a listening session. The guilty loves their food. Sleep away the day, hiding from the sun. We gotta stop fighting everything, everyone. Gotta stop fighting.